a lot of things in the worship service today, but this is a very important message for us to know about and to share with each other in the Word of God. And it's one that actually is not talked about enough. Amen? The return of the Lord. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of people who have said this fact, that we don't talk about it enough, and we need to be. But it's not for lack of scripture about it. Right? There's lots of scripture about this whole message of the second coming of Christ. And just like the cross, actually the cross is also, there's a lot of scripture talking about the cross, you know, and we need to be talking about the cross, not just at Good Friday, you know, or Easter, but throughout the year. In fact, next week, the sermon at the combined service is going to be on the cross. And so God is drawing us into this time to consider Jesus, his death, his resurrection, and then his promise that he would return. Now, there are different reasons. I'm not going to spend a lot of time saying this, but I just want to let you know that the reason why we don't talk about it enough is that it's not that easy to comprehend for our human minds that Jesus Christ is going to return and he's going to take us from this earth up into the cloud. Isn't that a little bit? If I'm going to be honest, in my humanity and my humanness and who I am, I watch a lot of movies and I've seen a lot of spectacular things, but I don't think that they're going to happen. I go to the movies to watch them and to feel like, wow, that was really cool. Did you see those effects? But the reality, and we need to take this seriously, is that Jesus Christ will return. And he's going to come in power. And he's going to take those who believe in him with him, just like we read, forever. So if we go into 1 Thessalonians, and if you want to take the scripture out, and you also keep handy your insert, it has scripture on there. I have about 17 minutes. But to be continued, we will pick it up again after next week's combined service, and I think we need to spend some time looking at the second coming of Christ. Right? It's important for us to do that. So let's get into it. First of all, when we read this chapter in Thessalonians, the discipleship theme is very strong. Okay, we've been talking about what it means to be a disciple. We have as our theme, you know, discipleship, that we lay down our own lives, that we take up the cross daily, and that we follow Jesus. And this is really part of the discipleship. We need to be aware of where we're going and what this life is all about. It doesn't just end when you say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, I'm baptized, and now I continue living in this life as a child of God. We have a goal, and the goal is to be with God in heaven forever. And we need to be thinking about that, and we need to be reminding each other of that, and we need to be learning the scriptures that talk about that, because people will ask you those kind of questions. What is going to happen? And that is what happened here in Thessalonica. They were asking Timothy, who Paul had sent to them, because he was concerned for their faith. He sent Timothy to them, and Timothy must have brought this up to Paul, that they want to know what is going to happen in the last days, right? What is going to happen to us after this life? What happened to our believing friends that we've lost? What happened to them when they died? And so Jesus had spoken to Paul through other believers in his training, in his mentorship, in his being discipled. He also had a connection with Jesus directly, with Jesus talking to him and speaking to Paul, and so he had this knowledge of what was going to happen, and he shares it with Timothy through this letter, or through the Thessalonians, through this letter in response. And it's just one part of what the Bible says about this, but it's important that we read it. So let's go to it again. But we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. And so he's saying we don't want you to be grieving about those who have died, the believers that have passed away, and you want to have hope. And so we are introduced immediately to what hope is. Right? And that is what the world needs. They're looking for someone to tell them what hope is. Can you tell me what it means? Can you describe it to me? Can you give it to me? I'm looking for hope in this situation. Be a messenger of hope as a disciple of God. Forget about your sin and your sinfulness. It's done. It's been buried with Jesus in the grave. You are risen with Christ, and you are here as a believer in Christ to be a messenger of hope to the people around you. Open your eyes and your ears to what you hear around us, and you will see that there is a need for hope. Amen? And there's a hope. We don't stop needing it ourselves as Christians, okay? So that they might not grieve, but hope. How? Belief that Jesus died and was resurrected, and with Jesus, God will bring with him those who have passed away. Those who have passed away will be brought to Jesus, and they will come first, right? They will come first. Preface to the second coming. By word of the Lord, those who are alive at the second coming of Jesus will not join Jesus first, rather those believers in Christ who have died already. And so this is what's going to happen. When Jesus comes again, when he returns, and he's going to return, are we convinced of that, brothers and sisters? When he comes, on that day when he appears, those who have died will be brought to him first. Out of the graves, all of these believers will be brought to him. Right? And it's not only that, but it says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. That is the scene that we can expect to happen, and we do expect to happen. It's truth taught in God's word. Do we believe it, brothers and sisters? Do we grasp it? Do we see and do we read it in God's word and say, this is the word of God, this is going to happen? If we do that, then our discipleship is going to grow. Our discipleship is going to move from this existence in this room into that is where we are going. We are not of people are going to shrink back. We are not people who are going to die and that's it. We are people who believe that Jesus Christ is a living hope. A living hope. And he is going to return, and we are going to be brought to heaven with him forever. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are alive, who are left, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so they will always be with the Lord. And then he says at the end of these verses, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Do we encourage each other with these words? I'm not sure. In fact, I'll say, no, we don't. Are we encouraging each other now? Do I encourage you enough? No, I don't. So today is the day that we begin. That we are not people who are simply going to live in a world without hope and be silent about it because we see all these people that are dying and they don't have it. We are going to say we are disciples and messengers of hope, and we need to bring the news to people about this. And in order to do that, you need to spend time in God's word and think about it. You need to ponder it. You need to pray over it. You need to say, Lord, teach me. Oh God, help me to have faith that this really is going to happen, because I am just so weak and I am so frail and I'm a human and I just this idea of that. But can you imagine that we will see Jesus that we've been singing about, that we've been talking about, that we've been reading about, that we're going to do? That needs to be a reality, because it is a reality. It's not a made-up story. If it is, then Paul says, then we have basically been wasting our time. But he knows for a fact, and he gave his life for the gospel because he was convinced in his heart that Jesus Christ lives. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. We can do all of these things. All things. He is my all in all. When we sing that song, do we mean that? Do we mean He is my all in all? Is it something that we are taking into our hearts? We have a scripture that it's based upon. Are we going to say, I'm going to sing this praise song and I'm going to really give it my all? Or am I really going to say, no, really, I actually really mean this. All in all. He's my all in all. And I'm willing to do anything because He gave His life for me. If you're not at that point yet, God is able to change your heart. Give it to Him. Give it to Him. You can't do it on your own. You can't pump yourself up. You can't drink enough health drinks or whatever it is to make yourself, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to lift the high, this heavy weight. I'm not going to, you know, all these kind of things that we think of. I'm going to study and study and study and drive it into my head. No. Jesus, come into my heart. Holy Spirit, transform me. Come into my heart. This broken heart, this darkness, come in with light and flash the light that is going to come, and I'm going to hear a trumpet one day, and my life is going to be celebrating Christ. All of it. If we don't believe like that, then we need to get there. We have to do that. We must, because that is what a disciple is. That is what a disciple is. We must begin to think like a disciple of Christ. Our life is not over when we die. It begins. Amen? Real life. And that's what Christ is bringing into their hearts here. Now, there's something that comes up and has come up, you know, as a result of this. There's a question that people have when a person dies, right? When a person dies, what is going to happen then? Are they with Jesus? You know, when we pray, we say thank you for their belief, and they're with the Lord now. Well, that's a very good question to ask, and we need to also address that. And so I just want to bring this up. Jesus said He would come again after He ascended to the Father. He would send the Holy Spirit to them, and He would go to prepare a place in heaven for them. Right? He said that. He said those things. And so He ascended to the Father, and when Jesus appeared to the disciples, having been resurrected from the grave, right? He told them these things. And then He ascended into heaven, and He went into heaven. And when He was standing there, a messenger of God came and said, "Why are you looking up there?" Right? Jesus is going to return in the same way that He went. Right? And so there was this assurance of hope that Jesus would return. So, what happens when a believer dies then? Well, there's scripture that tells us the following. First of all, Stephen, as he died, Stephen was a martyr and he was killed for his faith in Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 7, 59 to 60, it says that, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And then he says to the Lord Jesus, Stephen says to the Lord Jesus, "Receive my spirit. Receive my spirit." And so we learn here that our spirit is with God in heaven. So there is this spirit that is going to go. As a believer in Christ, my spirit is going to be with the Lord. We also know of the thief on the cross next to Jesus. In Luke 23:43, he said, "Lord, I believe." And so Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise." And so the spirit, the soul of a believer is immediately in the presence of God when they die. Amen? And then there's this other part here that we hear about, right? Well, first, let me give you another scripture that's helpful there. Hebrews 12:23, "When Christians come together to worship, they come not only into the presence of God in heaven, but also into the presence of the Spirit of just men made perfect." Let me say it again. When Christians come together to worship, they come not only into the presence of God in heaven, but also into the presence of the spirits of just men made perfect. That's a powerful verse in Hebrews. And these are the things that the Bible teaches us are happening, right, in the lives of people. And we need to have a grasp of this. That we have a connection to the people who have died. There's a connection to believers who have died, right? And if you read through the scriptures, especially in Hebrews, you'll see that there are many, many people of faith who have died, right, and that are remembered for their faith like that. It's not just a remembrance of someone who doesn't exist anymore. Their spirits are very much alive in heaven. Right? And so there is this also then a glorification of the body that comes at the time that we're talking about here in Thessalonians. Right? And so when Jesus comes in power at that time, he is going to redeem the bodies of those people, and they're going to take on a glorified body as they go to join him in heaven. Right? And so this is the area that we need to explore more, and we need to talk about, and that we need to encourage each other with. Right? But we need to also know the doctrine. We need to know what the Bible says about it, so that we're not just grasping at straws, right? So what I want to do, very quickly, I have 1 minute. So pay attention, okay? You can hear how fast Pastor John can speak. The second coming of Jesus Christ is defined in the following way, okay? We're going to go away from the scripture today, and I just want to give you a couple of scripture. You can take out your outline. First of all, in the Bible we read that it is unexpected. The second coming is unexpected. It is personal, it's visible, and it's bodily. Okay, again, unexpected, personal, visible, and bodily. Let me read you some of the scriptures that you have there. You can read along with me. Matthew 24:44. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. It is an unexpected thing. We don't know when. Right? John 14:3. Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Right? It's a personal thing. Acts 1:11. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, we read this, so you can take a look at that one again. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Those who are eagerly waiting for him. Are you eagerly waiting for Jesus? Right? Okay, it's dramatic and visible. Behold, in Revelation 1:7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Please take these scripture home and read them. And be encouraged with the hope of what God is going to do, what Jesus Christ is going to do. There's a second part to this, longing for the second coming of Jesus. We already mentioned that we want to look forward to it, right? In Revelation 22:20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And so when we pray, we need to be praying that. Come, Lord Jesus. It goes completely against our inherent desire to stay alive, but we have to see that real life is found through Christ. That this is only a temporary home. We are pilgrims on our way to heaven. You need to see yourself as a pilgrim on your way to a place that is better than this, that it's going to be a much more glorious place than you can ever imagine. And that is what we need to do as disciples, to change the way we're thinking, just like Paul told us. Let your minds be transformed, renewed. Titus 2:12-13, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to change the way that we live. Right? Not to be ungodly and seek worldly passions and long for those things, but to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. And that's what we talked about last week in sanctification. It is a process by which we are becoming more and more holy like Christ is holy. We give up the things of this world. Philippians 3:20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, no longer citizens of this world. Right? And again, in 1 Corinthians 16:22, our Lord, come. That is what we want. Wayne Grudem said this, to some extent, then the degree to which we actually long for Christ's return is a measure of the spiritual condition of our own lives at the moment. It also gives some measure to the degree with which we see the world as it really is, as God sees it, in bondage to sin and rebellion against God, and in the power of the evil one. 1 John 5:19, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That is what a disciple needs to know. This is not our home. This is not a place that we want to stay. We want to go with Christ to a better place. How do we live until Christ returns? In Mark 13, 32 to 33, but about that day and or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. You do not know when that time will come. You do not know if you're going to live another minute. We do not know. We profess to know. And we turn our eyes away from the words that we hear from God's Word, and we think, I know better than that. I can laugh. I can fool around. If you do that, you're a fool. And that's what the Bible tells us. You're a fool if you laugh in the face of God and you reject the words that He's giving you because they lead to eternal life. So don't be a fool. Be someone who understands the truth that it comes from a God who has given you life and desires to save you. That is what God wants for us. He wants to give us hope. But we don't want to waste time on things that are going to be leading us away from Him. We want to concentrate our time there. As a disciple of Christ, and this is the last thing I can say today with the time I have, what we want to realize with the life that we have is that it's not our own. It is a gift from God. It's a gift from God who loves you. What are you doing with that gift? What are you giving to God as a result? How are you showing respect and love back to God with the life that He has given to you? First of all, say, I'm going to change the way I'm living. I'm not going to have anything to do with friends that do sinful things. I'm not going to have anything to do with things on the internet that have anything to do with sinful things. I'm not going to talk in a way that is sinful anymore. I'm going to let Jesus come into my heart, and I'm going to prepare myself for the day that I see Him face to face. But not only that, I am going to live in such a way that people see the change in me and say, there's something else about you these days. What is it? And you can say, I've given up my life to Jesus Christ, and I'm a disciple of His. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That is what we have to stand on. And people may confront you, and they may say, just like they did the disciples, they'll say, what are you talking about? You're crazy, man. But didn't they say that to Noah? Didn't they say that to Noah when he was building an ark? And not one person listened to him. Literally not one person listened to him. Right? And so this is the reality. This is the reality of what God is of the world here, right? What is your reality? What is your reality? How often do you think about the return of Jesus Christ? Let's encourage each other in this scripture and begin to learn this doctrine that is so crucial and that we often overlook. Amen.